This week it'll be at the First Baptist Church in Andover. And there we go. That's all the announcements we've got. I said that. It's all right. She misses things. Honey, this is for Mrs. Wasdorp only. There is a women's fellowship at Shorts. Shorts is down the road a piece here. Okay. On that happy note, let's receive our offerings. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and Lord, even for laughter and for fellowship. And Lord, we just, and we thank you for this beautiful day. And we just pray that as we...
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Him, praise Him.
His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For those of you who might not know, we have planned, I haven't, but Brother Tom's been at work, a corn roast. Remember years ago we used to have the corn roast. And we're planning another corn roast for August 30th. It was going to be in September. And Tom checked and found out, lo and behold, when we wanted it, there's no more corn. We couldn't get that much corn. We were looking at September 20th. So August 30th, mark the date, plan to stay here and eat corn and all the other good things that will go with that. And take the opportunity, you know what I say, take the opportunity, invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite your enemies, invite the cashier, invite your doctor, invite everybody. Invite them. People like to come for food. Invite them. You don't have to invite them to church, invite them for corn. And, you know, you can tell them, well, show up at 10:30 and we'll have corn afterward. Glory to God. Brother Tom, you want to come share a little bit about financial peace?
So just an update. We passed around 2 weeks in a row. We passed around a list who would be interested in attending Financial Peace University, and we really did not get a very rousing response, which is fine, but it makes it hard for us to do what we wanted to do with so few people. So what we're doing now is we're gonna go to the other churches and we're gonna see if we can get a minimum to come, and we need at least 10. That's our target. We could have more, but at least 10. So those who have signed up, hang tight. It still may happen, but we need to get more people. So that's just an update on where things are at.
And if you're one of the people that thought, yeah, that would be really good, but boy, I just can't afford it, come talk to me. God will make a way for you. We will make a way for you. So if you're on the fence, you've been on the fence, and you didn't sign up for it, but you think, oh, gee, I wish I had. Well, it's not too late. Come see me or go talk to Brother Tom and get your name on the list. Take a step out. Do it. You know you want to. You know you want to. Yeah, all right. We have a whole bunch of prayer requests today. We're lifting up Brother's two sisters. He's got a sister, Kathy, right now who is in hospice, and they're saying 2 months probably maximum for her. So we want to pray. God is a God of miracles. We want to pray that God will touch your body. He also has a sister, Carol, who is suffering with severe dementia. And we want to pray for them, and then remember also their husbands who are walking through this with them. That's a hard, hard thing. We want to continue to lift up our sister Heather Myers, who is approaching the finish line slowly but surely. Please pray for her that she'll be able to finish this pregnancy well. We're believing God. It's been good so far, and we're believing God for a great finish for them and a precious another child in the church. Yay. Judy Riley's brother Bill has been placed in hospice here in Wellsville. He is in need of a miracle. So we'll pray for him today. It was brought to my attention that Dave Lawson, he's a cousin of Denny and Kathy Dunham. He was hit by a car. He wasn't actually hit by a car. He was run over by a car right at his legs, and he's up at Strong, and they don't know if he's ever going to walk again. So, and a very young man, really, really, really hard, severely injured. And we want to continue to lift up our sister Kim Parrish, and really what she needs is answers. She needs some answers about what's going on. So we can pray. But God is the God who reveals. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We're coming today boldly before the throne of grace, as you have told us. Lord, we don't come wishing or hoping or throwing our prayers up in the air and hoping that something lands somewhere. We're coming boldly before the throne of grace so that we can obtain help in our time of need. So, Lord, we lift up Tom's sisters, Kathy and Carol. Father, both these ladies are in a desperate place. And, Father, I want to pray first that both these ladies would have an encounter, a deep encounter with Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would know that they know that Jesus loves them and that they love Him. Father, speak to their spirits. Whether their body or their minds are weak, speak to their spirits. And Father, we're asking for miracles. We're still praying that you would touch bodies and bring deliverance and healing, that you could turn back the clock. God, you're able. And Father, be with their husbands who are walking through this with them. What a difficult thing. Pray that you would help all of the family. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we lift up our sister Heather, and the great joy that is to come in the Myers household. We pray that you would protect it and protect them. Put that hedge of protection around them. Lord, let everything go right. Every single step go right in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. Lord, we pray for Judy's brother Bill in hospice. God, I pray that you would touch him. I pray that you would help him. And like we prayed for Tom's sisters, I pray that Bill would have a real encounter with Jesus Christ. Lord, that he would know that he knows that he knows that Jesus is his Lord and Savior. Father, touch his body. Help him. Help him, Father. Help his kidneys. Help his things that are wanting to shut down. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know that you're able. Touch his life. Father, we pray for Dave Lawson in this terrible accident. We pray that you would have mercy on him. Lord, this young man needs his legs. God, we pray that you would do what the doctors can't, that you would help him, Father. Help him, Lord. Pray that you would work in his heart and in his life and in his body at this time. Father, he needs you. Touch him, give him your grace, and help him to know, as we sung this morning, that Jesus loves him, Lord. And we pray for Kim. Father, we pray that you would bring an end to the pain and illness in her life. And Father, that you would give her answers, that you would reveal every hidden thing. Father, that you would let doctors see what they might have missed here. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for our sister that you would touch her and bring release and relief in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank everybody one more time who helped with the 75th anniversary celebration. I keep having people thanking me for what a wonderful time it was. People who came and drove in, and I didn't think we were going to get anybody into the sanctuary to start because it was such a bottleneck out there in the foyer. People were so delighted to see all the people that drove to get here, so it was really wonderful. Thank you again for that. I am excited to call Curtis up this morning. He's going to come and share the word with us. Curtis, come on up.
Test. Is that on? All right. Wait, I just want to shout, though, before it goes on. Security or our pension or how smart we are investing or anything like that. That's all good stuff. Be a good steward. Do the best you can in all those areas. But he meets your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah. That's what we want to lean on. That's what we want to lean on. All right. There. Now, how's that? Now we talk nice and calm, right? Amen. Amen. God also wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. It's exciting, really. That's what God wants. I don't even know. We can debate till the cows come home about what it means to prosper, what it means to be in health. But whatever it means, that's what God wants. You work it out with God, whatever those two words mean. But whatever they mean, that's what God wants. He wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Work on that soulish realm. And again, it's a word that the Bible doesn't define really clearly. You work it out between you and God. What does that mean to have your soul prosper? Whatever God tells you that means, just run with that. Just run with that. And if you got it wrong, he'll steer you and get it right eventually. But whatever it means, he wants you to prosper and be in health. I don't know. I just think that's very exciting. Okay. I had two messages that were really stirring in my heart. And I'm not going to share either of them this morning, because even though they were almost ready to go, I was laying in bed the other night and like all these things started to spin through my head. And I guess I knew I just had to, I was going to share a message about feelings, because feelings have gotten a real bum rap in modern Christianity. You got Calvinism on one extreme, and then you've got like the faith message on the other extreme, and both of them really downplay feelings. Don't go by what you feel. Don't trust your feel. All those things. And there's truth in all that. But feelings are a really important part of our life as children of God. And I was going to share how feelings fit in so that we're not just always ignore my feelings, ignore my feelings, ignore my feelings. But I'm not going to share that this morning. But that's coming. That's coming. Sometime soon. I was also going to share about dissonance, which is I think I've shared some really interesting things over the years here, but today's not one of them. As much as I want, today is a bit of a dud. But it's a dud that I feel God put on my heart. So it's funny, when you stand up here, I don't know if Pastor Dave or Tom go through this, but when I'm up here speaking, I always want it to be interesting, maybe a little entertaining. I feel that pressure. And God told me the other night, drop it, you know. But in light of that, though, I really feel that what I am going to share this morning is very important and relevant. So we'll just leave. If it's boring, it's boring, you know. But hang in there with me anyway. Here's the exciting title. Don't faint. Don't go, oh. Death and life are in the power of the what? The tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's going to be more of a reading some scriptures together than a proper message. And some people have, before I even get into it, I just know right out of the gate that when we start getting into how important our spoken words are, a lot of people have written that off because they associate it with maybe an extreme faith message, or that's just a radical branch of Christianity. God has been speaking to me over the last month. I'm 66 years old. I've been a Christian. This October 19th of 1980 is when I became a Christian. I was 20 years old. I was a student at Alfred University. Oh, that's another thing I was going to do, because you guys don't know me all that well. I was going to share a bit of my testimony. Yeah, we'll have time for all that eventually. But 46 years of being a believer, you can get complacent. And I don't know if any of you, I do know, you all have struggled with that at times. Maybe we're tired and we don't want to keep doing the things we know God's given us to do. Or, you know, you get to a point where I've heard it all. I've already heard that message 20 times. And God's been, just about 3 weeks ago, God stirred it in my heart that he wants me to be more radical. And I know the word radical can have a lot of negative connotations, but when God spoke that to me, it was radical in the sense of getting reinvigorated. There's that phrase in the book of Revelations, return to your first love. That's in the book of Revelations, right? Return. There's, you know, we're an older group. Can I say it that way? We need to get stirred up again. We need to let the Holy Spirit stir us up again. And I'm not going to say, I'm not going to put the word radical upon any of you. The word radical is what God spoke to me. So I have been adjusting what I say. I've been catching my thought process early. When I was a younger Christian, I used to, there's a guy named, a Norwegian guy who writes a lot of books about improving our lives. Does it ring a bell to anybody? What's that? No, I'll think of his name in a second. He's written about 10 books. Every one of them is like really, really good. If I think of the name, I'll say it. But he always talks about first frame thinking. He views your brain as like a movie reel. And when, as soon as you can't help that first frame, that image, that thought, that picture that gets in your mind. But you can stop it right there. And God has been reminding me again, catch that. A bad thought comes to mind, just stop it right there. I had gotten into the trap of letting the thought linger for a little bit before I said, when I was a younger Christian, I didn't. It's like, oh, I can't think that. I used to carry around Bible verses in my back pocket because, you know, we all know the areas where we struggle. I used to carry Bible verses around in my back pocket, so when an inappropriate thought came to my mind, if I couldn't just, out of sheer discipline, get it out of my mind, I'd take the verses out of my pocket and I'd read them, and it helped me. You know, the different things in different seasons. So I've been, again, going back to first frame thinking, catching those thoughts, making sure that what I say, whether it's about me or you, that it lines up with what God says about me or you. I don't know, just... I have Gospels of John that I buy. They cost like a dollar each or 75 cents each. And it's just a little booklet. It's the Gospel of John with every verse about a relationship with God in bold font. And that's what I give out to people as a tract. I can say to them, hey, this is just, doesn't matter if they're Catholic or Presbyterian or Hindu, it doesn't matter what they are, this is just the Bible. And if you don't have time to read the whole thing, just read the verses in bold font. And I tell them, I said, I've done it. It takes less than 10 minutes to read them all. So I've started carrying them around with me all the time now so that whenever I feel prompted, I'm ready. I've got something there that I can give to somebody to share the gospel in a meaningful way. I'm just reexamining. At age 66, I'm reexamining a lot of good things that I've fallen away from and trying to embrace them again, and then maybe some laziness, bad habits that I've developed over the years that God is, I believe, going to help me shake them and get back on track, just to get more radical again. I think radical can be a good word. It can be a good word. All right. So as you hear this thing about words, don't just write it off. Oh, that's just extreme stuff. That's not for me. That's just the faith message. That's just whatever. I think of Jeremiah. The thing that got Jeremiah out of the pit was dirty old rags. And I will never, never, never call the Bible dirty old rags. But for some of us, some of the things that are so important for our development right now are things that have been lingering around our Christian lives for 30, 40, 50 years to the point that they've almost become dirty old rags. And I'm saying this morning, let those dirty old rags that I'm about to share with you pull you out of the mire. Let the Word of God redirect the course of your life. Death and life are in the power of the self-discipline, how much time I spend in the Bible, how many hours a week I spend in prayer, how much I care for other people. What? It's in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. All right. Oh, and this is a thought that came afterwards. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if God says something in his word and you don't agree with it, you got a problem. You don't have to understand it, You know? But don't write it off just because it comes from a stream of thought that you're not comfortable with. There's a lot of stuff about Calvinism that I like. I just don't buy into it hook, line, and sinker. There's a lot of stuff, again, I use the two extremes all the time. My opinion, theologically, they're the two extremes. Calvinism on one end, where everything depends on God, there's no free will, the course is already set, that's Calvinism. All the way over on the other extreme is the faith message that seems to put all the pressure on you. You make sure you're doing what you have to do. You're saying what you're supposed to say. You're doing all the things right. You know, and there's a lot I like about both of those messages, but don't discard a biblical truth just because it's uncomfortable, because that is probably the definition of pride. It's one thing if you're too pride to agree with me about something. That's about this big in God's eyes. But why? Let's not disagree with anything God says about something. Okay, all right. Enough introduction. You've heard this phrase before. And by the way, this message isn't a long one, so it's okay if we have a little question and answer. If something comes up and you want to raise your hand, we can do that. But have you ever heard this phrase? I'm so poor, I can't pay attention. Oh, there's an example. I'm so poor, I can't. There's a lot of figures of speech and phrases. And again, I am not picking on anybody. I actually tried to pick out phrases that I don't hear so much so that nobody would think that I'm picking on them, but I couldn't. So if I use a phrase that you use, I'm not looking at you. I'm just trying to make a point. That drives me crazy. I will never say that unless I'm speaking a message and using it as an example of what not to say. That drives me crazy. Oh, that was so funny. I laughed to death. You know, there's a lot of phrases that are built into our modern language, culture, that are fun to say, but God's standard for how we use our mouth isn't whether or not it's fun to say, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm going to show you that in a minute. But just because something is a common phrase, oh, I didn't mean it literally. I have one of my kids, I won't say who it is, but it's my oldest kid who lives in Denver. We've argued over the years so many times. Oh, Dad, I didn't mean it literally. Because from the time my kids were little, I've tried to encourage them to be conscious of the words they speak, the message I'm going to share, am sharing with you this morning. But she would say to me, Dad, I didn't mean it literally. Well, I don't know if that even matters what you meant. If your tongue is and the words you speak are that important, I suppose let's just let them be that important. The tongue is it's a rudder, not a mirror, you know. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. The laws of physics. How do we segue into the laws of physics? I'm going to use gravity as an example. I think everyone in this room, because of our life experience, we know that gravity is real. It's just the law, one of the laws of physics. Two big things, they have a pull on each other, and one of those big things is the Earth. Another one of those big things is us and everything on the Earth. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in the laws of physics or not. They work whether you believe in them or not. If you don't believe in gravity, guess what? You step off the edge of the building, and you're still going to fall down. You're not, oh, I'm not going to fall down. I don't believe that stuff. You know, it's true. The laws of physics are irrefutable. They're true all the time, always, no matter what. And the laws of the kingdom of God and the truths of the kingdom of God are the same way. So if you don't believe something God says, that doesn't mean it's not at work in your life. It's true. The word of God is true whether you believe it or not. Our job, like in the world of physics, our job is to understand, learn, explore, apply what we learn, learn more on top of what we've learned before. The kingdom of God is the same way. The principles, a lot of people say, why are certain subcultures so, I'm just going to use the example of affluent. And you dig into it and you find that there's principles from the kingdom of God that they might not even be believers, because you got to know that the principles of the kingdom of God, they work for everybody everywhere, whether you're a believer or not. They just work. They're just true. And so whether you don't believe them isn't even relevant. They work. They work. All right. Matthew 15:11. I'm going to read it. And I don't have the verses up there. So, just like the old days. I agree. Matthew 15:11. It isn't that that goes into your mouth that defiles you, but it's that which comes out of your mouth. That's what defiles a man. What comes out of your mouth? Words. Words. You know what? You can do your best to eat well and exercise and all that stuff, but if you want to be undefiled, watch what you say. Watch what you say. It's not what goes in that defiles you. It's what comes out. That's how powerful your words are. If we stopped right there, and we won't, but if we did stop right there, that verse alone just says how incredibly powerful and significant your words are. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. So if you can, with God's help, take charge of what's coming out of your mouth, there's good things in store. Like really, really, really good things in store. Okay. Proverbs 4, these three verses go together. So I'll Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Right? That's probably not a new verse to anybody. It's so important that you guard your heart. That means you're mindful about what goes in your ears, mindful about what gets into your eyes. Anything, whatever inputs the world has that can affect your heart, God wants you to guard. Guard your heart, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. Luke 6 and Matthew 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to gain control of your words? And by the time we're done this morning, I hope you'll be motivated to gain control of your words. You want to gain control of your words? Take care of what's going on inside your heart. And again, some of what I'm going to say this morning might sound extreme. Some of these chick flicks that are on the TV shows where they've got a certain scenario that's going to play out, and it's the same in like 80 different movies. The plot's the same. But all the girls, this happened to be beautiful in every one of these things, right? So it bothers me when I watch them, because the plot's okay. Nobody's using any dirty words. There's no sex scenes. There's nothing. It's just an hour and a half of looking at all these beautiful women that aren't my wife. So Randy says, oh, let's watch this movie. I say, oh, you go ahead, you go watch it. I'll go do something else. And she knows why I don't want to watch it. And if I don't want to leave the room, she'll watch something else. She's good about it. But that's an example of guarding my heart. I don't want to let junk get in my heart. I'll tell you this, and I've talked about this briefly once before. Music is so important, because music is designed by God to get words through your normal barriers right into your heart. Music does that. That's why you can think of a song from the 1960s that you haven't sung that song in 40 years, and you don't remember the words. But you sing one phrase, and just before the phrase is over, oh, you remember the words for the next phrase. I don't know if any of you have had that experience or not. It happens to me a lot. Music, what you watch, these are areas where we've got to guard our heart, because whatever's in our heart is what we're going to speak. There's just no way around that. That's what God said. Believe it or not, God said it. That's not Curtis Corky. It's not Kenneth Copeland. It's not Joseph Prince in the Grace Message. It's not, who's the guy on FLM on 8 o'clock every night, the Calvinist guy. He's got a real thick Irish accent or Scottish. Alistair Beggs, those guys didn't say any of that stuff. God said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. So be mindful. Put up the guards. Does that sound radical? You mean I can't watch those movies anymore? Work it out between you and God. You know if it's having a bad effect on you. Do you sing those old Rolling Stones songs because they were hot when you were a kid? I used to. I won't anymore. You know what I mean? By God's grace, I sort of got... Every now and then when I'm flicking around on the radio station, if I'm traveling, because I do travel a lot with my jobs, I'll come across a classic rock and roll station. And everything in me says, oh, listen to this. That Elton John stuff, it can't be all that bad. The musical quality is great, but the things they're saying that's going to get into my heart are what... That's why I put my guard up. What you listen to, what you watch, it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. It will change your life. If you guard your heart and only let get in there to the best of your ability what God wants to get in there, it'll affect your lives very, very positively. And what if everything I just said is wrong? What's the big deal? So you stop watching and listening to junk. What's the downside? There's no downside to that, right? So even if everything I just said isn't even true, you're not going to lose anything by getting that junk out of your life, all right? Okay. Yeah. Yes. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the title verse, death and life are in the power of the tongue. James chapter 3. I believe the book of James is a very relevant book for many of our lives right now. But James chapter 3 gets into a lot of detail about the role that your words play in your life. And I'm gonna read it exactly the way it's written, and then I'm going to give you my version of it. Pat Reagan, what's the name of the guy that translates the Bible you read on Monday nights? Okay, I'm going to give you the Peterson version of James chapter 3 in a minute. He takes a lot of liberties, but he's fun to listen to. When I hear Peterson, I like it because it sort of reminds me of the Bible. Okay, James chapter 3. I'm going to read verses, and I'll acknowledge out of the gate that this section in the book of James is really talking about people who are teachers. At least it starts that way, but there's a principle in here that we can all benefit from. Listen to this. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Is God even suggesting that maybe that little bit that weighs, what, 6 ounces in the mouth of a 1,500-pound horse, can that little bit steer the course of the horse? God must be crazy. How could that be? Behold also the ships, which though they... And by the way, God's not crazy. Just clarify. Behold also the ships, verse 4. Though they be so big and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small rudder. And God went out of his way here, I believe, to emphasize very small. A ship can weigh, I don't know what boats weigh, billions of pounds, I don't know what they weigh. And this little bitty rudder, but what about all the big winds that are blowing against it? God, I got all these winds blowing against me in my life. I don't know if my tongue is enough to redirect the troubles I'm having. It is. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small rudder, wherever the governor wants to go. Even so the tongue, even we stopped right there, even so the tongue. God is saying that the tongue is like the bit in the horse's mouth and the rudder on the ship. Even so the tongue, it's a little member, but how great a matter a little fire can kindle. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. So is the tongue, sorry, I lost my thought, among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Okay, now here's my version of that. This is much more interesting. Verse 2. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep your whole body under control. What you say. So your prayer life is good. All of your devotional habits with God are good. But if you can control your tongue, man, are you set for great things. That's why I like, you know, I talked about being 66 before. In addition to the stuff I mentioned, there's lots of little ailments that can show up at age 66 that didn't show up when I was 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, all right? So I say all the time, Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried away my diseases. By his stripes I'm healed. You know, I just keep speaking it and speaking it and speaking it. I don't deny stuff that's going on in my body. I don't think God encourages us to deny anything that's really going on in the world around us. God speaks into existence things that aren't as though they were. In other words, God creates. He's, you know, you don't have to say, oh, there's no war in Jerusalem, you know, but you can pray for the peace of Jerusalem, right? We don't have to pretend there's no world conflict or domestic conflict in the political realm here in our country, but I pray and speak that God's going to raise up godly men and women, you know. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Verse 3, a bit in the mouth of a horse is enough to turn the whole animal. Just get that. Just get that point from James chapter 3, verse 2. A little bit in the horse's mouth steers the whole horse. Verse 4, a rudder can redirect an entire ship no matter how big the ship is. So get that. You with me? The bit, the rudder, right? I mean, God's really going out of his way to make this point. And then verse 5, likewise, the tongue. It can steer the whole course of your life. One of the things that's important to know is that I had a boating license at age like 14 years before I had a driver license. And it's funny because to this day, there's certain things I still do with a car. Like when you're steering a boat, if the boat is going through a narrow waterway and you want to steer to the left, it's not enough just to steer to the port side, because on a boat, when you steer to the port side, the stern slips out to the starboard side. So you've got to be aware of where you're steering it and what's behind it. It takes a little while before the boat lines up purely with where you were trying to steer it. It's not an instant thing. We have to remember that with our tongues. We start using our tongues, our words, the way God meant them. Just give it time. Give it time. It doesn't mean that because you say, I command this cold and fever to be gone in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's still there. Didn't work. It's not like that. Give it some time. Be consistent. Persevere. Be diligent. There's very, very little. I'm tempted to say nothing. But there's very little in the kingdom of God that's instant and fast. Matter of fact, if it is instant and fast, we have a word for it. What do we call it? A miracle. Yeah, that's what miracles are. And our future isn't built on God doing miracles all the time. It's built on us lining up with what he says in here and giving it time. How much time? I don't know. Days, months, years, decades, it doesn't really matter. Just stay the course, do what is right in God's eyes, and good things come out of it. All right. Matthew 12:36 says this. For every idle word men shall speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. This is not talking about your salvation. Your salvation is made secure by the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. You've been adopted. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. But all the other stuff that goes on for the rest of our lives is still significant, and one of them is Idle words. Idle words. Every idle word. Every idle word. So I don't want to go around and say, oh, that drives me crazy. Oh, that was so funny, I laughed to death. Oh, I am so poor, I can't, what did I say in the beginning? Something, I can't pay attention. You know, I'm not going to say those things. They're all idle words. The word idle just means casual, leisurely. It's just stuff we say, oh, because it's cool to say it. Everybody says it. Oh, everybody uses that phrase. Like I said earlier, my one kid would say, oh, I didn't mean it literally. Or they might even say, oh, I didn't mean that. How about we get much more disciplined and radical about how we use our words? That's really the point. I guess I could have just said that in the beginning and been done, but it wouldn't have been any fun. So, radical about our use of words. Okay. So here's a couple of things I say a lot. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the important thing there is to realize that it's through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have a single Bible verse that says I can run a marathon in 2.5 hours. You know, so I'm not going to go and say, oh, I can run a marathon in 2.5 hours because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't find a single verse that tells me he'll strengthen me to do that. But you know what? He'll strengthen me to forgive. Right? I can come up with about a dozen Bible verses on that. God wants you to forgive. Matter of fact, he commands that you love those who hate you. Ouch. You can do that. You can do that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He will strengthen you to do the things that his word tells you to do. And as you do it, you'll be freer and freer and freer. Weights will be removed and removed and removed. And you'll enjoy life more and more and more. You know, but I say it a lot. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I started with this one. It's 3 John 2. God says he wants me to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. When I have a financial need, I say that God's going to supply for my needs. I don't have a verse that says he's going to give me a Cadillac. Or when a church we went to in Long Island, there were a group of people. This was like when I first got saved, and that church isn't even there anymore. But there were a group of people there who really felt that God put it on their heart that they were going to win the lottery. So they were taking all of their savings, and what were they doing with it? Buying lottery tickets. Governor Cuomo loved these people. Love these people. But if I need food to eat, I guess I can trust God for that, right? You know? But what if I don't have any money to buy the food I need to eat? Well, God didn't say he was going to meet your needs according to your riches and glory. He says he's going to meet them according to his riches and glory. There's a lot of things that you can say that are really worth saying. When my body is not fully healthy, I tell it to be healed. I remind myself, and I don't know if this is the important part or not, but I feel it sometimes. I am not only telling myself, but I'm telling the universe around me that Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried away my diseases. I don't have a real good grip on how God wants his people to interact with forces of darkness. There's probably 8 to 10 verses in the New Testament that sort of address that, but for me, they've never been crystal clear. But when my body is telling me something's not right, and I tell it to be healed, I'm saying it probably for me, primarily, you know. But if it is related to forces of the universe that are out there coming against me, I want them to hear it too. I want every demon to know that Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried away my diseases. Okay. Can you do this? I know you can. I know you can. I don't like the idea of word police, although I've had a lot of fun with that over the years. My kids got a little bit, I don't want to say frustrated, but my kids would say stuff that wasn't in line with what God was saying about them, and I'd catch them, no, that's not what God says about you. And it can get a little bit tedious, but I will say this, they learned it, you know what I mean? And when my wife says something that's in conflict with what God says about her, I've learned over the years, leave that one alone. Let God take care of that one. but as much as possible. You know, I think, I mention this because I think we can help each other. If we're having casual conversation and every idle word that we speak is important to God, I hope that point was made, that every idle word we speak, it's important to God. We've got a tool available to us that can affect the course of our lives. So would it be okay if we sort of helped each other with that? I think it would be. But it can get negative, especially when you correct somebody 8 times in 10 minutes. You know what I mean? There's a lot of Bible-believing Christians who have massively bad verbal habits, and boy, I don't know whether they need correction or a slap in the face, but they need something to shake them out of this false, I'm going to say demonic belief that the words they choose to use aren't that important. They are so important. They are so important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, I'm done. Is there a question, a comment, especially from Pastor Dave or Pastor Tom or anybody for that matter? I'm open to this. I think this is so, so important. Denny.
I had a time in my life where
yeah, okay.
So I started reading my Bible.
And I'm going to repeat this for the so everybody can hear.
I started reading my Bible on James. Just can't watch your tongue because your religion is working.
Okay.
And all the boys are
mad. Yeah. Okay, so it's Denny who said it, not me. If you can't watch your tongue, your religion is worthless. That's what he said. God says it too, by the way. Yeah, no, it's
good. and then Matthew's, I think, I can't remember if it's 10 or whatever, but every word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to be
Yep, yeah.
So it changed my whole perspective. And I, you know, I said, Lord, forgive me. I was going back into
yeah.
The feeling that nothing mattered, like,
yep.
So after I got into the word a little bit, changed everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So I don't know if you all heard, but he was hanging around a group that was not using making biblical use of their words. There's a tendency to get sucked into that because that is the culture around us. What's the word Zeitgeist, right? You're familiar with the word Zeitgeist? It's like the spirit of the day, the spirit of the age that we live in, and that will suck you in. That's why God made it so clear. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you know? And yeah. Was there somebody else who wanted to say something?
I've been working lately on not being self-deprecating.
Okay. Oh, amen.
And you say, oh, I'm so stupid. I was so dumb. And I stopped myself.
Oh, that's a good example. Good.
You can't say that.
Amen.
You were perfectly made. God loves you.
Yep.
You can't say that.
Yep.
You know, and it's become such a habit, I think, with so many people.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm just going to say it so make sure everybody... I can't believe I did that. I am so dumb. The Stipe guy says, that's okay to say. Everybody says stuff like that. Don't say it. Do not say it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not dumb. Never say it about yourself. Never, 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 never. That's a really good example of something that our culture just says, oh, yeah, everybody says that. I can say it, too. You can't. Others can. You can't. Let the unsaved folks say they're dumb. But don't you say it. Don't you say it. Yeah. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm a little guy. When I graduated high school, I was 116 pounds. Really, really tiny. Now I'm 117 pounds. No. No. I was always on the small side. And our culture, whether people realize it or not, our culture definitely favors bigger guys. You know what I mean? So I always thought it would be great to be a bigger guy. And unfortunately, it wasn't until I was about 40 that the whole idea that I was fearfully and wonderfully made began to bring some rest. I'd still rather be big and strong and muscular, and it might still happen, you know. We talk about growth spurts and all that stuff. Maybe mine's this late. But I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Doesn't matter how big or strong or short and weak, right? Or so our culture doesn't favor people who are intuitive and loving and caring. Our culture favors people who are analytical, aggressive. Most people aren't analytical and aggressive. You know, I think of my wife. My wife is naturally wired to love people. No matter where she is, she loves people. But you know what? That character trait is not honored in our culture, unfortunately. She is fearfully and wonderfully made. And when we moved up here in 1985, and this is going to drift back into my personal testimony that I decided not to share this morning, but when we moved up here in 1985, we were in Alfred, New York. What is Alfred dominated by? Colleges, professors, big smart people, right? I could probably name 20 people who were intimidated by that environment because they thought they were inferior to the big smart professor who understood physics or calculus or psychiatry. They're made different. Come to turn out, they didn't understand psychiatry anyway, but that's a whole nother story. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Whatever we think is a liability, don't say, oh, I'm stupid, or, oh, that's something negative about yourself. Just don't. Speak about you and about me, if you don't mind, what God says about us. Anything else? Good stuff. Go ahead. I remember your last name was Slocum. I'm sorry, I forgot your first name. Cindy.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Good morning.
Amen. 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 Yieldedness. Yeah, amen. Amen. By the way, speaking of yieldedness, we had Our God in the music this morning, and the second song had Oh God, but we didn't get to a But God. So whatever you think about you, God says otherwise. So But God, all I say, let a But God in there. All right. Chris, somebody? Annie?
I have always come back to the level of the heart. People throughout life, they
All of us. Yeah. Amen. So, you're jumping ahead to my message about feelings. Because they're so important. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Pastor Dave, would you come up? And thanks for listening, everybody.
So while Curtis was speaking, what did the Holy Spirit say to you? That's what you want to listen to right now. As he was talking about the tongue and what the words you say, what did the Holy Spirit say to you? Right then. I know he's speaking to people all throughout the room. He said something to you. What do you need to adjust? How do you need to change? And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Did you hear it? Write it down. Remember it. Rehearse it. Speak it to yourself. And the other thing, you get full of the Word of God, it's going to come out of your mouth. You get full of the Word. Stay in the Word. Father, we thank you. We thank you that You spoke the worlds into existence, and we don't have that power, but when we say something, it can affect our heart and our mind, our attitude, and the people around us. Father, help us to be mindful. Help us to be very mindful. And we thank you for the grace to work with us. And Lord, you can set the watch on the door of our lips. As your word says, set a watch on the door of my lips. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you came for prayer this morning, someone will be here to pray with you and believe God to touch your body. If you need a touch from the Holy Spirit, don't leave without it. Otherwise, God bless you. Thank you so much. Have a great week. I am told that there are dishes in the kitchen for people, maybe from the 75th or from different times. If you have dishes, go to the kitchen. If you've been missing something at home, it might be in the kitchen. All right, God bless you.